Father, we thank you today for the Word of God, the living, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that you're here in our midst as our great teacher. You're instructing us, Holy Spirit, and wherever we need instruction, encouragement, edification, uplifting, you're going to give it, because that's your ministry today. We lean on you, Holy Spirit, and welcome you here to do just that as our teacher, our great comforter in Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, the psalmist said, it's a famous, and we've actually sung songs for decades to this verse from Psalm 118:24. He said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And he wasn't just talking about a specific day. That verse has eternal ramifications. You understand that? He was speaking prophetically. He wasn't just talking about a Wednesday back in, you know, so many thousands of years BC. He was talking about, this is a time. This is an age. This is a dawning of a new era. And he was prophesying the day that the cross would create for you and I. We call it the church age. We call it the age of grace. Amen? And he was prophesying. He was saying, this is the day, the time, the dawning of a new era for God's people. And it's the age of grace. It's the church age that you and I are living in right now. We said it Wednesday night. We said, God, at this season, in this point in history, is not angry with man. Amen. Because of the cross. Amen. Because of the cross. Can you say, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Lord.
This is the age of grace and favor. As Jesus put it in Luke 4:18, when he was reciting from the prophet Isaiah, he said it this way. He said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Meaning, this is the time of God's favor. How many of you know we're living in God's favor right now?
Amen.
Never been a better time to live. Now, there will come an end to this age we call the church age or the age of grace. How many of you know God has a timeline? And there comes a point in time in which God says, okay, that's it. Clock's done. This age is finished. The age of grace is finished. And now we step into what the Bible describes in the book of Revelation, the new millennium and judgment. Okay? How many of you know judgment's a good thing for the believer?
Amen.
I'm just getting warmed up from my message, so just hang with me. Judgment is a good thing for the believer, because you know what? When God looks at you and judges you someday before the throne, he'll say, white as snow, without sin, free of accusation. That's who you are. Judgment's in our favor. Did you know that? Because of the cross. You and I have been judged righteous. Hallelujah. And that's why the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord has made through his cross. I'll rejoice. I'll be glad in it. This is the time to rejoice. Amen? Well, we're going to begin in Romans 1 today. Romans chapter 1. We're going to walk a Roman road declaring the meaning of Easter, the meaning of resurrection. Are you ready? Let's do it. Let's begin in Romans chapter 1. Romans is like the Magna Carta for the Christian. It's like the American Constitution for American patriots. This is our Constitution, the book of Romans. It's a doctrinal book. It's rooted in all the foundational truths that relate to you and I as new believers, as new creations in Christ. Let's begin in Romans chapter 1, reading in verse 1. I'm just going to read the first six verses here, and then we'll chew on it, okay? You with me? Let's go. Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul says here, he says in verse 4, he says, through Jesus' resurrection, his deity is declared. Amen. So first off, I want to say that. Jesus' resurrection means what? He's related to God. He's the Son of God. Listen, as I said earlier, scientists cannot create life in the laboratory. You show me proof of anybody that's ever created something in a test tube that is life from its origin. They can't do it. They can alter life. They can tweak life. They can mesh life. You know, they can take the DNA of this and the DNA of that and mesh it together, right? Come up with new things. That's what the Aggies are good for over in College Station. And they mesh this seed, mesh that seed, and they come up, but they're messing with life. They didn't create that life. Right. And Paul says here, listen, Jesus is declared through his resurrection to be the Son of God. Why? Because only God can give life to a dead body that's been in a grave for 3 days. Intentionally, by the way. That has to do with Jewish custom related to their beliefs about whether the spirit's still in that body or not. God said, I'm waiting till the third day and then we'll raise him. There's a reason for that. To declare that I raised Jesus. He's my son. That's what Paul's declaring here in Romans 1, verses 1 through 6. And in verse 5 there it says, we received apostleship to call people. How many of you know you're called today? You're called for two things. You're called to rise from the dead through the gospel. You are called to rise from the dead and to declare him who is risen from the dead. You and I are called to be risen. Listen, you can't declare a message that you're not experiencing yourself. So if you need to, go get in your prayer closet until that resurrection life bubbles up and find that resurrection life and then take it out to the world. Paul says here, you're called to rise from the dead and you're called to go raise people from the dead. Amen. Spiritually speaking, declare the gospel to them and raise them back from the dead. Amen. How many of you know the gospel is not to make bad people good? The gospel of Jesus Christ makes dead people alive.
Hallelujah.
You could be a pretty moral person, but spiritually dead, you still need resurrection life. You could be an all-out, certified, blazing heathen, and you need to be raised from the dead too, because you're spiritually dead. So moral or immoral, doesn't matter. If you're spiritually dead, you're dead. There's just dead. There's not mostly dead, as in Princess Bride. There's not partial death. There's just one. You're either dead or you're alive. So listen, when you're talking to sinners out there, you need to ask them, say, have you been raised from the dead? Have you been born again? Have you come to life again in your spirit? Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive in him. And we're called to go out and declare the gospel that makes dead people alive. Amen? Verse 16, Paul says this. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Paul says here, there's a power in this good news that I proclaim. I'm not ashamed of it because it's filled with power. And I want to declare to you today that the good news that I'm here to declare before you and the good news that's in your heart that you declare before the world is a power to save people. And it's been doing that for 2,000 years. It's been saving broken homes, broken lives, broken society everywhere. It's proven throughout the world that wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ goes, society is lifted. Economic standards come up. Health standards come up. Educational standards come up because the gospel brings life to the dead. Amen? It lifts people from the low place to the high place. That's the good news. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this. It seems foolish to the natural mind to declare this message, but it is the power of God, and it's been proving for 2,000 years to raise the dead to life, literally.
Yes.
And maybe you know there's people in our time, Heidi Baker's over in Africa raising people from the dead constantly.
Amen.
Still happening today. Did you know that?
Yes.
People are still rising from the dead. Yes, it's appointed man wants to die, but how many of you know sometimes people die prematurely?
Amen.
If it's not their time to go and the right person's on the scene, we'll just bring them back. Mm-hmm. I said, we'll bring them back.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Because this gospel is the power of God to raise the dead to life.
Amen.
Verse 17, he says, in this gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Righteousness is the key to it all. And this is what we're going to focus on for the first part of our message this morning. Righteousness is the key to it all. And unfortunately, the standard is set so high that only God could provide this righteousness for you and I. That's why he says, in this message, the gospel, the true gospel reveals this to people. You can't be good enough. You need help. That's the gospel. The gospel looks at a sinner and says, you need some righteousness. And the good news is, that's the bad news. You ain't got it, and you need it. The good news is, it comes from God. Amen. In this gospel, let's read it again, verse 17. In this gospel, a righteousness from who?
God.
From God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Listen, the bad news is man is a sinner. Look at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed. Say being. I said a moment ago that God's not angry right now, and that's true. We're living in an age of grace. The church age is the age of His favor. The doors are open wide for all who are sinners to come inside and be saved. However, some are running from God. Some are running into sin as hard as they can go. And in their life, the wrath of God is, in a sense, prematurely being revealed. It's not time for that full wrath to be poured out on sinners yet. Do you know that?
Yes.
And yet some people are experiencing the wrath of God in their life through their own choices, not through God's, through their choices. That's a message for another time. But he says, it's being revealed against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. By their wickedness. Look down in chapter 2, verse 2. We're just going to take a cruise through Romans here today, so stay with me. Chapter 2, verse 2. Well, we'll begin in verse 1. Let's start at the top. Chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore have no excuse who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. How many of you know God's judgment is based on truth? None can stand before God in their own righteousness. That's what Paul's declaring. Because the judgment of God. Now listen, you and I can look at someone and say, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. They do this, I don't. And that judgment is based on partial life experience. They cuss, they chew, they run with girls who do, and when I don't, okay? We do this comparison game, right? With heathen, quote-unquote, bad people worse than us. But Paul says here in the book of Romans chapter 2, he says, God's judgment is not based on your standard, it's based on truth. It's based on truth. That's the bad news. Because if the bar sets so high, if truth is the bar, we're all in trouble. But how many of you know the good news always comes in behind the bad news? I got good news for you today. Just hang tight with me. Paul says here, here's the bad news. The bar is truth. Not your opinion. It's truth. It's God's truth. That's where the bar is. And all men fail compared to the bar. I mean, if Michael Jordan's the standard, who's going to shoot hoops, right? I'm not going to pick up that ball. Yikes. And Paul says here, look over in chapter 3. Here comes the good news. Chapter 3, verse 21. But now, aren't you glad for the little three-letter word but occasionally in the Bible? It takes care of all the other bad stuff before it. Aren't you glad? But now, I got good news. Paul's saying here, I got good news for you. But now, good news. Don't get depressed. A righteousness from God apart from law, or apart from performance, you could say, our performance before God, is revealed, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Let me read that again slowly. But now, a righteousness from God apart from law, in other words, apart from your ability to please God outwardly or your performance, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. In other words, all the Old Testament guys, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they all prophesied about this someday coming of a righteousness from God. And that's what we're living in right now. The gospel is the righteousness that comes from God. And Paul says here, it's been made known. And it comes from God. There again in verse 22. This righteousness from God. You should underline that in your Bible. Just as a reminder, you should highlight that phrase. From God. Where does righteousness come from? From you? No. None of us can produce it. Righteousness comes from God alone. And that's the good news of the gospel. But now our righteousness from God comes through faith. How does it come? Through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no difference. And we know this verse, this next verse, verse 23 by heart. Most of us as children learned it. For all, come on, you can quote it with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Unfortunately, we stop there. And again, that's a verse talking about bad news. The bad news is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we fall short of His standard. However, aren't you glad for verse 24? Let's read on. Verse 24, he says this. All are justified freely. Say freely.
Freely.
freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. The good news is, it's a free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. It can't be earned. It can't be acquired in any other way. It can't be equaled either, because the bar is this. God is the bar. Truth is the bar. This righteousness that you and I walk in has to come from him alone, because we can't produce it. We can't earn it. It's a free gift. How many can say free gift? Okay? Some of you woke up this morning, you had an Easter basket sitting there from your loving wife or loving husband, filled with chocolates, good things. It's a free gift because it's Easter. Ain't that a great thing? Free gift. And Paul says here, righteousness comes from God, and it's a free gift. Listen, saints, we need to ponder this regularly. We need to stop, and I'm talking about deliberately chew on this phrase, free gift, and we need to appropriate it by faith from our heart regularly. You need to say, I take the free gift of righteousness right now. Just like you would take a vitamin in the morning, or you would take your medicine on a regular schedule. You take righteousness by faith. You should take it regularly. Receive it regularly in your life. Father, I thank you that you impart righteousness. It's a free gift to me. I receive it right now in Jesus. I can't produce it. I need it to come from you. This is what the opening chapters of Romans declare. A righteousness from God is revealed in this message we call the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. Righteousness comes from God. His name was Jesus. Amen? Isn't that good news? It comes from God. Let's read on. Verse 25. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Those are talking about all the sins in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God's people had animal sacrifices, and those animal sacrifices were with tainted blood. Animal blood cannot cleanse sin. It can cover sin. And because Israel obeyed God's word, the sins were covered but not removed. Amen? Their sins were not removed, and that's what it means when it says he had left all the previous sins before unpunished. He did it to demonstrate, verse 26, his justice at the present time, so as to be, and I hope you underline this phrase in your Bible, God is just, and he is the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. Say this with me. God is just,
God is just,
and he's the justifier.
And he's the justifier.
God is just,
God is just,
God is the justifier.
God is justifier.
Because he's just, we can't meet his standard. But the good news is, he's the justifier. Through Jesus' sacrifice, God justifies you, God justifies me. That's the only way it comes, saints. We all have to go through the blood. We all have to go through the cross. We all have to go through that one sacrifice that can make us righteous before the Father. That one sacrifice alone can put us in right standing before God, to where we can say, I'm justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. And you should say that over yourself regularly. Daily, even. I'm justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Remind yourself of that. Say it daily. Just as if I'd never sinned. You say, well, I just sinned 2 seconds ago. I'm justified.
Amen.
Not because of my action, because of the blood. Because of Jesus, I'm justified.
Amen.
Now, I don't understand that fully. I'm coming to understand that fully. How that can be true, but it's true.
That's right.
It's in the gospel.
Amen.
And I believe it.
Amen.
And it's true. And it will become a reality in your life as you believe it. And as you say it from your mouth. You believe it in your heart. You speak it with your mouth. I'm justified. Just as if I'd never sinned.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, saints, you have a bright future. Heaven is going to be a glorious experience for you and I. We will not stand before God ashamed. We will not stand before God and give account of sin. The blood has done that for us.
Yes.
Do you hear me? The blood has given account for your sin for you. You will stand, the Bible says, faultless before him and with great joy. That's our future. To stand faultless before the throne with great joy. Amen? Because you're justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Look over in chapter 4, verse 23. Chapter 4, verse 23. The words, it was credited to him. Now this is talking about, this quote is from Abraham. The previous verses talk about Abraham. We're not going to read the whole chapter. And some of you just said, I'm so glad. You're already thinking about Easter lunch. Stay with me. Lunch is coming, but stay with me. Chapter 4, verse 23. The words, quote, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, talking about Abraham, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness.
Amen.
You should underline that in your Bible. God will credit. We don't advocate buying things on credit in this church. We hope you all get out of debt and pay cash for everything in life. But the one thing that you can only buy on credit, which is the most important thing you'll ever own, is righteousness.
Yes.
And the Bible says right here, God will credit righteousness for us who what? Believe. That's how you buy it. That's how you get righteous, is believing. Believing in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification. Now, I want to propose to you that that's not the best translation of that last phrase. For our justification. The Young's literal translation says this. Listen carefully. Because of our justification. That's more clear. The reason Jesus was raised from the dead was because you and I have been justified.
That's right.
He was raised to life because we're justified. Amen? Because the work is finished and we've been cleansed and now we've been made in right standing with God. This credited righteousness has taken place. And where did it take place? At the cross. Because of the cross, God has justified you just as if you'd never committed a sin ever. And he has credited righteousness to you. Read that verse one more time, the last part of verse 25. He was raised or delivered over to death for our sins. There's the payment. And he was raised to life because of our justification. Hallelujah. Because of our justification. Listen, the cross was the payment. The empty tomb is the receipt.
Yes.
For your right standing with God. I'll say it again. The cross was full payment, which is why when Jesus was dying, in his dying breaths, he said what? Finished.
Yes. Yes.
Finished. Paid in full would be a more modern way to say that. Paid in full for you and for me. Every sin you've ever committed before Christ, and every sin you'll ever commit. So we've got a house full of believers I see here today. I mean, you know, we are not free from sin as long as we're in this earthly temple. Anybody who says so, we're going to stone them for lying. We still commit sins. You're not sinless, but you are guiltless.
Amen.
Just as if you had never sinned. Now that's crazy to the mind. That boggles the mind. That's how good the good news is.
Yes.
Just as if you'd never sinned. The empty tomb is the receipt, showing full payment and satisfaction of God's demands for justice. God did not grade you on the curve. Remember in school? Everybody in the class did really poor on a test. The teacher's going like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Oh, we'll grade this one on the curve. In other words, if you made a 70, that's like 100, okay? That's called grading on the curve. No, God didn't do that with us when it came to sin. God said, all have sinned. Therefore, a price must be paid. Full payment. I'm not grading on the curve. Full wrath, full punishment must be meted out at the cross on my son Jesus so that Keith could go free, so that David could get off scot-free, so that Scott could get off scot-free, just as if he'd never sinned. That's what God did. And at the cross, he poured out every ounce of anger, wrath and punishment on your sin and mine, on his son Jesus. Listen to this phrase. God treated Jesus as us, so that now he can treat us as Jesus. Isn't that good news? God treated Jesus as us. You know you've heard the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child? God did not spare the rod upon his son Jesus. God did not spare the rod at the cross upon his son Jesus. He let out the full measure of his wrath against sin upon Jesus. God treated Jesus as us so that he could treat us as Jesus.
Amen.
As if we'd never sinned, Mike. As if we'd never done anything wrong. Is God happy with you? Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Not because of your performance, but because of the cross.
Yes.
God is very happy with you. He's pleased with you. He smiles upon you. We taught Wednesday night, we're doing a series on the love of God, and we said this, the word, when it says we are accepted in the beloved, that word accepted, it comes from the Greek word. It means God's favoring us. He looks at us and he says, you're charming to me.
Yes.
You're lovable to me. How can that be? We see ourselves as imperfect beings. We see ourselves with the flaws and sins that are still not perfected. And God says, you're charming to me. You attract my favor. You attract my love. You attract my smile because of Jesus.
Amen.
God treats us as Jesus because he treated Jesus as us at the cross. Isn't that good?
Amen.
God took the sinless Christ and poured into him all of our sin so that he could then take Jesus' righteousness and pour all of that into us. God has poured his son's righteousness into your life and into mine. We've received it freely. It's a gift. Can't be earned. Certainly can't be produced. 1,600 years of that showed proof in the Old Testament. Moses and the children of Israel at the base of Mount Sinai said, give us the law. Tell us what to do. We'll do it to the nth degree. God says, okay, there it is. Here's my standard. I'm Michael Jordan. Shoot some hoops. Give it your best shot. And man, for 1,600 years, stumbled over himself.
Amen.
In fact, it didn't take any time at all. They were already building a golden calf. In no time. Hadn't even been 1 year. Mankind proved real quick how easily he breaks the Ten Commandments. We're flawed. But in him, we're perfect. The cross paid the price. The empty tomb showed the receipt. That the payee, the one to whom all of our debt was owed, was satisfied. Look down in chapter 5, verse 1. Look at the results of this. Since we have been what?
Justified.
How? Through faith. Let me tell you, saints, you're not just before God by your feelings. You wake up on Monday morning, you don't feel saved. You don't feel holy. You're justified by faith. I hope you highlight that phrase. Listen, we live by faith. This whole thing is walking on water. It ain't any of us going to get in the door without faith. It's faith or nothing, brother. Because we can't produce an ounce of this righteousness we're talking about. It's totally by faith. Amen. It's all Jesus' goodness, none of mine. And God says here we're justified through faith. And therefore we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith into what? Grace. In which we now stand. And we rejoice. That's what I opened with. We rejoice in this day that he's made. We rejoice in the grace and favor that we stand in because of faith. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at one more verse in John chapter 20. And we'll wrap it up. God's not mad at you. Say this with me. God's not mad at me. I'm living under his grace. I'm living under his favor. I'm living under his smile. I'm justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. By faith. Hallelujah. No other way but by faith. John chapter 20. Look at verse 19 through 21. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked, mind you. Wonder why that was. Okay. For fear of the Jews. Yeah, they had just crucified their master, nailed him to a cross. Thus the locked doors and bolted too. Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus can do locks. He's no trouble. He goes right through walls. He stood among them and said what? Peace be with you. Now our New Testament is written in the Greek language. So the Greek word peace is Irene. In the Greek word for peace here is Irene. But Jesus would have surely let down his hair with his own and spoken in Aramaic, not Greek, he would have said what? Shalom. Shalom. Peace. First word out of his mouth. Showed him his nail prints and says, Shalom. The root word for shalom comes from a word that means paid. Paid. Jesus declared to his disciples, paid. Paid. Peace to you. Your sins are paid for. You don't have to beat yourself. You don't have to condemn yourself. You don't have to be hard on yourself. Payment in full, right here. And he showed him his hands and he showed him his feet. He showed him his side. Payment in full. His very presence was the receipt. Hello, I'm a walking receipt. Can you receive that your payment has been taken care of? Paid in full. Hallelujah. This is the meaning. If you don't walk out of here with any other thing, we can all understand the idea of a receipt. If you lose your receipt, ladies, you go shopping, you want to take something back to the store, sometimes they won't take it back without a receipt. It shows proof that you had paid for that dress. You paid for that skirt. If it's a size too big, we'll go that way. You need a smaller one, you take it back with the receipt to the store so they can see proof that you had paid. And Jesus comes to his disciples and says, proof. Paid. Now shalom to you. Receive peace on Easter. Christians probably need to hear this message more than unbelievers. Well, unbelievers need to hear it too, but we got a room full of believers here today. And I'm here to declare to you peace. Payment in full. You're just before God. You can walk in His favor, His smile today. Not because you're perfect outwardly. Not because you're perfect in your conscience. But with the conscience of the Word of God. The faith in the payment. Faith in what Jesus did for you. That you're justified by faith. If you have to read it 10 times today, go back and read Romans 5, verse 1 through 2. Justified by faith. I have peace with God. I have peace with God. Wow, isn't that a beautiful painting?
Yeah.
Wow. There it is. The receipt. Yeah. Call that painting the receipt. Proof of payment in Jesus. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, for sure, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He knew he stood no more righteous than the next guy. And he said, Jesus came to save me, because I have sinned. Why don't you stand together with me? I hope you'll chew on these things today. I hope you'll wake up every morning and say to yourself, I'm justified.
Amen.
Not by feelings, by faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By faith in the cross. By faith in the empty tomb. By faith in the payment that was made through blood. Not gold or silver or any other jewel or precious thing in the earth, but through the precious blood, the very lifeblood of Jesus, the sinless Lamb. Your payment and my payment has been made today. Amen? Aren't you glad? Let's tell Him thanks for just a moment. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. Payment in full. Payment in full by Your blood, by Your nail-scarred hands, by the empty tomb, Lord, we know that You have paid the price for our sin. And we stand justified before God today. Just as if we'd never sinned. Righteous before You. You have poured into us Your very righteousness. It has been credited to us as a gift. A free gift that we receive. We reach out. Just reach out and receive it today, saints. Receive it afresh. Listen, everything in the Lord is always about present tense. Not, I did this already. It's doing. I'm always receiving. I'm always partaking. I'm always receiving. Receive right now the righteousness of God for your life. The risen Christ, your very righteousness. Hallelujah. The more you receive it, the more you'll walk in it. The more you'll identify with it. And you'll behave like it as you receive His righteousness. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful Easter with your family. And tell somebody else today what you've heard. That Jesus has paid the price for their sin. Tell somebody that doesn't know. Tell somebody who's walking under condemnation in a cloud of guilt. Say, there's no guilt. Don't you know?
Amen.
Paid. and show them through the message of the gospel, those nail-scarred hands. Show them the receipt, the payment for their sin as well. God bless you. Have a great week and bring some testimonies back next week. We love you. Bless you.